إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, in financial accounting we use some basic documents, one of which is the P&L account, profit and loss account. And it is what it means. It's the profit and loss of the business. It's done in well-run businesses. It is done on a daily basis. In others, it may be done later, but definitely annually, it's part of the annual financial accounting of any business. Now, effectively, what we do is you draw a line down the center of a page. On the left, you write profit. On the right, you write loss. And then you balance at the end of that and you see what is the result. I am saying this here in the context of our lives to say that this is something that we should do, which is to prepare for ourselves a P&L statement, ideally at the end of each day, but definitely at least weekly. We are coming into the month of Ramadan, and all of this is in preparation for that. Ramadan is a month which comes to remind us over and over again about our own meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a day on which all pretenses will fall away. We live a life of pretense. May Allah save us. And this is true for most of us. We live a life of pretense. We ourselves know our actual reality, but we live with various disguises. But a day will come when all those disguises will fall away. There is no way you can disguise yourself from your own maker, and that's not going to happen. When Rasulullah ﷺ said that on the day of judgment, people will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala naked, that has a literal meaning and it has a symbolic meaning. A literal meaning, of course, we know, but the allegorical meaning is that there will be nothing to cover you except for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sattarul Uyub. He is the one who covers the faults of a slave, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover us and to keep our faults hidden on the day of judgment like he kept them hidden in this dunya. I sometimes reflect and think that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to show people our actual reality, then may Allah have mercy on us and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. And that is why Rasulullah ﷺ placed so much importance on covering the faults of others. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the one who covers the faults of his brother in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover his faults on the day of judgment. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi said that if you uncover the faults of a brother, if you expose your brother, he's not saying that you are, he's not talking about slander, he's talking about something which has actually happened. He said, if you expose your brother, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose you even in the innermost recess of your house. Meaning that even if you are hidden from everyone, Allah will still expose you. Imam Malik also said, he said, I have seen people who were great ulama. They were very learned people with lots of all kinds of qualifications and so on and so on. But I saw that later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed them, and they, before they died in a state of defamation, a state where their fame and everything was finished. And he says the reason for that was because they used to expose other people. They used to expose other people. And vice versa, he said that I saw other people who were not very great scholars and this and that. I mean, they were decent people. They obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They fulfilled their faraid and so on, but may not be anything more than that. But they always hid the faults of others. And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them great honor in this world, which was not in keeping with their qualifications. I mean, they got honor far more than what their normal qualification would have got them, only because they hid the faults of other people. The reason I'm saying this is because, as I said, the P&L account, the profit and loss account, in the columns that we write, this is what we should write. In the profit column, you write what you gained, what profit do you think you made. And in the loss column, you write what loss do you think you made. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to lead a life where sincerely and clearly we can say that today I did not make any loss, inshallah. It is all doable. It's not as if this is something impossible. It is possible. But it requires conscious effort. That is the reason why also backbiting and ghibat is such a big problem in Islam, and the punishment for ghibat very ironically is that your good deeds go to the person who you were trying to defame. We have the great quote of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya rahmatullahi alayhi, I think it is, who said that if I see my brother with alcohol dripping from his beard, I will say that somebody poured it on him. And if I see and hear him stand on a hilltop and say, Innani anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'abudni, verily I am Allah. And there is no one worthy of worship except me. So worship me. If I hear him stand on a hilltop and declare this, I will say that he is reciting the ayat of the Quran. Now this is the issue of the husnazan, the good expectation from your brother. So he's talking about somebody actually doing something which is wrong, clearly haram. I mean, he's not just talking about wrong in the sense of, you know, did he lift his finger in tashahud, or did he shake his finger, or did he pray the salah with a topi or without a topi. He's talking about actual haram. What is alcohol? It's haram. There's no doubt in anybody's fiqh about that. Even in such a case, he says, give him the benefit of the doubt. Give the brother the benefit of the doubt. It does not mean you don't go and correct him. It doesn't mean you don't go and ask him and say, what happened to you, and so on. But the point is that do not be in a hurry to defame or to pass judgment and denigrate somebody. I said that is something which is to be avoided. So profit and loss statement, we must write this. What did we earn today? And like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there's nothing which is too small to account, and there's nothing which is too big to account. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a smile is sadaqah. What is the meaning of sadaqah? Sadaqah means actually this is a deed which will be recorded in your favor, for which you will be given a reward. Right? It's not a small thing. On the day of judgment, one single good deed is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. One single good deed. So if you are doing something which is, even though it is small, similarly, big things, major sins, whatever it might be, you know, gambling or dealing in interest or alcohol or fornication or whatnot, the tendency to consider that to be okay. One of the, if you listen to my lecture on death and hereafter, one of the causes for su al-khatima, which is a cause for a bad death, which means a death without iman, a death in a bad situation. One of the causes for su al-khatima is to consider a sin to be insignificant. Is to consider a sin to be insignificant. This is one of the big problems today, which is the result of a little bit of knowledge, which actually causes confusion instead of clarity. People feel that, whether this guna, this sin is a major one or a minor one, and so on. So therefore, it's almost like saying, if it's a minor sin, I can do it. the major and minor of sins, the classification into kabair and sagair, is for the purpose of fixing the punishment for those things in this world. That's not for you and me, that's for the fuqaha who have done that to fix the punishment for a particular sin in this world. That is not to decry or to remove the importance or the heinousness of a sin, right? So even to consider a small sin to say, oh, this is a small sin, this amounts to a big sin. The fuqaha have said that to consider a saghira to be unimportant is a kabira. Because in the end, all disobedience is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Al-Akbar. He is the greatest. Whatever the disobedience, small, big is not the issue. Issue is, who are you disobeying? Are you disobeying someone who is small? No. You're disobeying someone, Allahu Akbar, who is the greatest. So if you are disobeying the one who is the greatest, then that disobedience is major and it is serious. It is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness for everything, whether it is major or minor. But to deliberately do something, knowing it is wrong, and to continue to do it, and then to say, well, you know, Allah will forgive. This is a sign of gross ignorance. And it's a sign of complete being in the lap of shaitan, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to punish something. And if somebody says, no, but Allah will forgive me, well, go ahead. I mean, you know, you want to live like that, in that belief, go ahead and live. You will find out. If Allah wants to forgive you, I've got no problem. But I am only saying what the Kitab of Allah says and what the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. So ask yourself, whatever sin I am committing, did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam do this? If you find the reflection of this in the seerah, if you say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam committed this sin, na'udhu billah, we know he did not commit it. I'm just saying that look at it for yourself. Because you are doing something and you say this is insignificant, it doesn't matter. Well, okay. So if it doesn't matter, satisfy yourself for your own good. Right? If it doesn't matter, then we should find the fact that the Prophet ﷺ also did this. But you find he did not do it. So how do you say it does not matter? He did not do it because it matters. Because he wants to show that it matters. If there is anyone it should not matter, it is the Prophet ﷺ himself. Well, he did not treat it like that. So whatever the sin is, so-called sin, the reason I'm saying is that if a sadaqah, if a smile is a sadaqah, a small thing like a smile, then similarly there are small things which we do, may Allah forgive us, which can become big problems for us. Right? Similarly, bigger things which we do. We have created a world today where we have for ourselves made certain things halal and certain things haram on our own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear what is halal and what is haram. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not differentiate in that halal and haram. He did not say this one is a little more halal than the other one, or that one is a little more haram. What is haram is haram, what is halal. But we have changed that. I'll give you a very simple example. For example, today we have restaurants in Hyderabad, owned by Muslims, run by Muslims, which are serving alcohol and pork. This is completely and totally haram. That income is haram, that whole action is haram, that entire restaurant is haram. But you say, no, but you know, after all, business, people won't come, so on. Nobody told you to be in a business. If in fact, people do not come to a restaurant which does not serve pork and alcohol. First of all, this is a lie, because then nobody would go to Taj Mahal Hotel, because they are all completely, totally vegetarian restaurants. There's not even meat in it. And that thing, you have to go stand in a line to get in to eat breakfast. So this whole belief is nonsense, number one. Number two, that if that is in fact true, then you have no business being in that business as a Muslim. It's not a business for you. Can I say that I'm going to start selling drugs tomorrow because a lot of people like to have drugs? So I'm going to start, a heroin business. It doesn't make sense. You as a Muslim are not supposed to do that, simple as that. But we have made this jaiz for ourselves. Yeah, it's okay. Gambling is haram. But we have made gambling not only jaiz, but we have made this into a social, you know, yeah, social status. I'm a member of the race club. How is it jaiz? But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made taking a second wife halal, jaiz, but we made this haram on ourselves. I'm not in favor of it for myself personally, but I'm saying this is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So if somebody marries a second time, then he is, you know, castigated and cursed and thrown out from the family and everybody. Which Sharia is this? So very, very clearly we have to understand this, that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for us is for our benefit, and that is halal. Some of the things which are halal are not fard, so don't do it if you don't want to do it. But the point is that if you are going to make your own jaiz and najaiz, then this action itself is an action of arrogance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I advise myself and you, let us sit down and make this profit and loss statement. Write down the profit and write down the loss and see where we are going before a time comes when all of this will become crystal clear for us. And all facades will fall away, and all acting will fall away, and all disguises will fall away, and we will stand naked before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on us and to forgive us. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ.